Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The DNVR Rockies podcast is brought to you by our friends at Green Mountain Dental. You got to check them out if you need any kind of dental work done. Just 15 minutes outside of downtown Denver in the Lakewood area. They'll treat you like family. They're experts in family dentistry. They'll give you the absolute best care you can possibly imagine. And they'll hook you up with a free Sonicare toothbrush when you schedule your cleaning, x-ray, and exam today. They've been longtime supporters of DNVR, so you should be supporters of theirs. Again, if you need any kind of teeth work done, check them out. Again, it's Green Mountain Dental Group. They're located just outside of downtown Denver in Lakewood. Great members of the family, Green Mountain Dental.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast, brought to you by Strava Craft Coffee. Use promo code DNVR25 to save 25% off your entire purchase of that CBD-infused, deliciously rich, and potentially life-altering Strava Craft Coffee. I'm your host, Drew Kreisman. I'm the managing editor of DNVR Rockies. With me, as always, is beat writer Patrick Lyons. And on this episode, yes, indeed, well, we do welcome everyone in to Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. The Colorado Rockies finally managed to pick up a win here on the road against the Rangers in the final game. First two games of the set, perfectly winnable, down early, managed some comebacks to get it within one, could not complete the comebacks in this game, down big early, 5-0 after a disastrous inning that we'll get into in a bit, where just about everything that could go wrong went wrong for the Rockies in one inning, and they managed to eventually, ultimately, make the comeback. They did not lead in the series, Patrick, until with one out in the ninth inning, Brendan Rodgers hit that double to score a couple. And you just go, and they finally took the lead. And then a comedy of errors, literally and figuratively, ensued for the Texas Rangers. And it actually ended up being, oddly enough, if you just looked at the final score, it'd be 9-5, a pretty comfortable road win for the Rockies. It was nothing of the sort, but still wildly entertaining.
And it always is. It's the Colorado Rockies. It's always going to be entertaining. The exact opposite of what we saw in Los Angeles, where the Rockies had the early lead in every single game. They ended up winning 2 out of 3. Here, they never had the lead, and they still end up getting the one here in game 3. Kind of, that's been almost their calling card. Is we did see in the previous series last week, I should say, against Chicago. They lose the first two. They sneak one out. They snuck one out in Chicago. They stole one here again in Texas. But hey, they come away 4-5 on this road trip, which is pretty darn good. And
right
now, I think they just need 4 more wins to get to that magic number of, right, of 22. And you know, last night I sent out a tweet about
road to 22, baby.
What was it? 14 game spans or 15 game spans,
yeah,
over the course of the year. And only 30% of the time have they gotten to that 5-win mark over a 15-game span?
Right.
However, all of the times that they've done it, they've been since the All-Star break. So since the All-Star break, they've done it closer to 75% of the time. So if I don't know how, and I don't know which games exactly, I'll feel it when we get closer.
Yeah, you'll feel it.
But I think they'll get those 4 more wins that they would at least they would like to get, or something within the organization would like for them to get. Rockies players, they want to just get all the wins, of course.
But it is amazing.
I think yeah,
I agree with you. And the difference that a half inning there can make, right? Because if they get swept here by the lowly Texas Rangers, you're going, they still might end up setting this horrible record here. And then they do pull one out. They get it done. And then you go, yeah, okay. They really have been better. They were in all of those games. Game 2, if that wild catch in left isn't made off of the Trevor Storyline drive, you know, we're having a very different conversation here. Very small margins of error, really, between these two teams in this set, for better or for worse at times. But let's go ahead and break down what happened there at the end, and we'll build up to our guy first. But yeah,
I mean, you couldn't have expected that, right? Like, what would you have put the odds at? Like, 1% chance? I mean, it has to be less than 1% ultimately, right?
Going into the ninth, or
of course, it has to be less than 1% because you're like,
Right, you're going.
If you only need one to tie,
I
guess I should say less than 1%. That what would have happened, right? That they would have been able to get
by that point for sure, right? Though, and I will say this, Patrick, and this is what's interesting, right? So here's how the inning unfolds. First, you get, and I can't remember the Nunez or no, Hilliard made the first out, but Hilliard had a hard drive foul, ends up striking out. But still, with Hilliard at the plate, you go, okay, well, maybe he hadn't been doing great yet, but you know, he's got the chance to put one over the wall, tie the ball game up just because he's got that raw power. He makes the out. You know, all right, okay. And then they pinch hit Diaz for Nunez. Smart move. Good move from manager Buddy Black there, getting the more veteran guy in, the guy who's been hitting better. The guy who's been taking really smart at-bats, been pretty decent in the clutch. You know, he's got some pop, can take ball yard, but does exactly what he needs to. Veteran AB, draws the walk, right? Gets a guy on base. That's your – there you go. It's not speed, but you've got the game-tying run as a board. Now if the next guy goes yard, you haven't just tied it up. You've taken the lead. You've got Connor Joe doing his thing. Same basic principle. Wait for a mistake. Don't swing at anything on the edges. Hang around. Got one pitch right down the middle. It's funny. It was like first pitch was out of the zone. Second pitch was right down the middle. And in the moment, I was like, ooh, Joe, maybe your patience got the better of you there. Maybe take a hack at that. But maybe if he takes a hack at that, he hits it 112 miles an hour on the ground of the shortstop who rolls it up and the game is over.
Well, and to that point, as you said, Diaz drew the walk. They drew the walk on a 3-1 count. The pitch that he did swing at was a little bit outside of the zone. So Connor Joe's going, I'll do
That's
it. It's a team effort. Pass it down the line. Let's pass
That's
it.
That's right. He had just seen Diaz extend when he shouldn't have. And but so you're 100% right. He was waiting. He wasn't. It was like the first strike, the first real strike the guy had thrown in the inning. So you go, okay, you get one. He piped that thing, dude.
That was right Joe, down swing. The middle. Yeah, something off it too, I think.
And but Joe hangs around, waits for another mistake, never gets it, draws his walk. Now he's pushed the tying run into scoring position. And here's the thing where you talk about, you know, throughout the year, Rockies on the road, how you or just in the history of the Rockies, when did you actually believe, oh man, they could win this game? It was the second Brendan Rodgers stepped into the batter's box. The way he's been playing lately, with the kind of just locked in at bats that he's been having, with the fact that he had started this game with solo home run, the kind of answered, right? The Rockies have that horrible inning. It's 5-0. You got to get one to start anything, right? So he broke up, by the way, a no-hitter, a perfect game, and a shutout with one swing. So you go, boom. I love when that happens. Rodgers gets him on the board. In all the categories, 5-1 game. Then during another inning, where was it? It was the fourth or the fifth. I'm trying to remember which one, but where they were getting a couple runs extra back there, he drew an 11-pitch walk, during which there was a wild pitch, run scored. He was a part of that whole situation. Great. It may be his best at-bat of the game, though, of course, the reason, Patrick, he's our draft king of the game, it's because once those guys drew their walks, he came up with the double, hard in the gap, scored a pair of runs. So he got the scoring started for the Rockies, and while, again, they would pile on after that with some errors and other stuff, he would give them the lead there in the ninth, swing the game back in their favor. A huge, huge game at the plate, clutch game at the plate for Brendan Rodgers, who's really just been fantastic for the last 3 months.
He goes and hits his ninth home run on the road, all of them to center field. It's amazing what he's been able to do this year and really catapult himself into the forefront of this team. And I think, you know, it's so similar to what Ryan McMahon did in 2018. I think Rodgers is doing it a little bit longer at the big league level this season for what we've seen. So it does make you hope that he can continue doing that going forward. Doesn't have the same support that McMahon did in 2019 and 2020, which is a little bit different. But I think, you know, slightly better pedigree, you know, being third overall pick there in 2015. And finally, you know, he gets health, right? He gets his legs under him. He gets his health under him. You hope he's put that behind him, and a little bit of that misfortune and just, you know, bad luck. And you say, you know what? I think he might not have those same kind of growing pains that Ryan McMahon did have, but you saw it here in this game. And, you know, you're talking about Buddy Black pushing the right buttons, and it didn't factor in quite as much, but it certainly could have. Was after Joe drew the walk, pinch runner with Garrett Hampson over on first base, in case you do that. And Hampson, you know, if you watch the clip, he's trotting into home, but anyone else could have drawn a throw potentially. That was kind of key too, right?
You're 100% right. I'm glad you brought that up because it had slipped my mind, and I actually did want to talk about it because that almost never works. That's almost always, like, it's a good thing to do in practice. And when the guys play the same position, there was no reason not to very easily just have Hampson go and play the outfield there. But again, anyone who's ever played MLB The Show and put the fast guy in as the trail runner at first, your exact thinking is, if this guy hits the ball in the gap, now this guy can score from first. But you can get a double by hitting the ball down the line. Much harder to score from first there. You can get a double off the wall that's too hard and doesn't allow the guy to score. You could hit one out, and then it didn't matter that you pinch ran the faster guy. You get a single, and so it doesn't really matter. That might just, there's so many. So it's literally four. If you hit the ball in the gap, the trail runner can score. And Brendan Rodgers hit the ball in the gap.
Yes, so he did exactly what you're supposed to do in MLB The Show, except he did in just The Show.
Just The Show.
The real show. Yeah, the real show.
Jacob asked him for a two sweet and Alfonso Soriano Hall of Fame.
It's funny you mentioned this. Exactly 1 week, folks. Folks, are we salivating yet? Are we salivating yet? It is 1 week until Larry Walker is officially inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame up there in Cooperstown. 1 week. Alfonso Soriano, Hall of Famer? No, but in the Hall of Very Good.
Yeah.
There's a guy growing up watching him a lot for the Yankees. Hall of Very Good. And the Hall of Go and look and see how much money he made during his career. And you're going,
some Hall of Fame money.
Stuck around. Yeah. Big bucks during his career. Very good ball player. Very good.
Just pulled it up real quick. Not a Hall of Famer, but very good baseball player. Fun. Always fun to wonder about that, though. I will say our conversation about catchers the other day and Buster Posey and Yadier Molina and who's the other one? It centered around Salvador Perez. I ended up on Jason Kendall's baseball reference page.
Very underrated.
Dude, super underrated, man. He might be a Hall of Famer, though he's got none of the stuff like all-star games or silver sluggers or gold gloves. He played in 12 postseason games in his over 2000 games, 12 postseason games.
Yeah. He wasn't on too many good teams, obviously. No. Starting out with Pittsburgh, that doesn't help, but hit a lot of triples, stole a lot of bases.
Yeah.
He was a leadoff hitter for a while, almost had a whole career of what to a lesser degree of what Craig Biggio did. Who was one of those kind of light hitting, but good offensive catchers, small, little bit thinner, smaller in stature for the most part. But Jason Kendall, yeah, definitely check him out.
Good question. So a few other quick notes on the offense today. More good stuff from JoJo to JoJo Joe. Two hits and the late walk, as we talked about. He'd slowed down a little bit as of late. It's going to happen. It happens to everybody. You've been on quite a run.
He slows down, but he doesn't stop.
Yeah. That's the thing.
He doesn't stop.
Yeah.
I found a little hack. Drew and I were looking at some stuff over on the DraftKings sports book. And we're like, hey, wait, did you notice this? Wait, hit that. See what happens there. I feel like every game, the summer of CJ, you got to put four total bases. It's at 1.5 every game. Doesn't have a big payout, but both those guys are almost locks for a double or extra base hit for total bases.
That's right.
In fact, total bases is two singles. That gets the job
done. Or walking once and singling once. Yeah. One for three with a
I don't think walks goes towards that. It's just
it does.
Total bases on a hit. Yes.
Oh, it's got to be. Okay. Okay. Well, that's good.
I think RK and Andre got burned by that.
Years
ago. I was watching and they're like, hold the phone. Bases. Because that's part of how slugging percentage is calculated. And so don't go towards slugging. Okay. It goes towards on base. But that's one you hammer. So it's Connor Joe, as you said, slowed down but did not stop. Got those two hits again today.
Yeah. So you got to love that. And I think until further notice, he's earned his ability to stay there in the lineup and at the top, and you figure out what's going on with Tapia. Now, what's interesting is he had a bad day, topped it at the plate today. Really not a good day and really not a good series for him at the dish. You see, coming back off an injury, you want to give him a little bit longer and then one set where he still got on base, a couple of times and is moving runners over and doing some of the stuff he does. Just some ugly at bats and
didn't strike out.
Didn't strike out. Yeah. I mean, you still get, it's still not like when Trevor goes 0-23 with 10 strikeouts and 8 straight games, he doesn't get on base. He doesn't drive anybody in. You get nothing from him. And, it was frustrating. How many guys did Tap leave on base today? Like 6. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it felt like. he got a lot of chances. He had a lot of chances to come through where you're just like, hey, a nice little one of your little loopy base hits to left field right here is going to score a pair. Dude, that'd be nice. And he just couldn't come through. It happens again. You can't expect anybody to hit 300 all the time. But also being in a slightly different spot of the lineup is something that he's going to have to adjust to a little bit, but I think he will. So that'll be curious to see how they play that, especially once the DH is out of there, how they're going to line everything up once they get back home.
I like him down in, lower in the lineup for a couple reasons. And the biggest is really just this idea that could put a little chip on his shoulder, a nice healthy chip of, wait a minute. No, I'm the leadoff hitter of this team. That's my job. So he's going to camp next year. He knows, he should know. He's a starting outfielder for 2022 and 2023. But is he the leadoff hitter? Go out and show us, right? And so that, again, that's a healthy thing that he might not be able to do, right? If he's, still playing through some nagging injuries and stuff, which, again, could always be the case. But he wants to be back. He wants to be on that field. He may want to make sure that Connor Joe doesn't, take his spot. Because, again, you got to earn it every single year. But I like that idea that, hey, I want to be at the top of the order, not just in the order. I want to be at the top of it. So now he's got a little battle going into camp next February.
So we do have to toast our Breck Brews on this day to the Colorado Rockies offense, who came through and managed to get this thing done eventually and finally, despite a day you were really not hoping for on the mound. We'll get into that in a second, but we will be toasting our Breck Brews. You can get your 15-can samplers, your tap pack, down at your local King Supers or liquor store. Of course, you get a much bigger beer, a much bigger what? A much bigger brewski when you come on down to the DNVR bar. If you're a member of the family, subscribe today at thednvr.com. You'll get access to all that written content, plus discounts on hats and shirts, free shirts when you subscribe for the year right now. You also get access to our Discord channel. You can come hang out with us, chat 24/7 about baseball and all the other sports, anything else that you want to talk about, really. There's channels for anything and everything under the sun in there. So come hang out with us and talk a little sports. Be a member of the family. Again, you can subscribe today at thednvr.com. And don't forget that if you're still out there looking for some work, there's no better place to work than for our friends at Ball. They're absolutely awesome. First of all, it's a beautiful place to work out there at the plant in Golden. Absolutely gorgeous drive to and from work, all that good stuff. It's a phenomenal company, especially if you care about the environment. You care about not putting garbage out there into the environment, care about what you actually produce at the place that you work. Great for that. If you just care about being treated well, an advancement, fair advancement, an ability to move up and make better money. If you put in excellent work, you know, in sports, we call it betting on yourself. If you really believe that when you show up at a workplace, you are an asset, and maybe you don't feel like you've been treated like you're an asset at other places, or it's not seen, it'll be seen at Ball. You will be able to move up and get better jobs and more responsibility and usually more money and all those great things. So text Golden 77222 and you'll get linked to open positions. You can also go directly to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden. That's jobs.ball.com and search for Golden, or simply text Golden to 77222.
And it's golden because of the city, but it is also golden because it is a golden opportunity for you to ball out and really be a part of something big and special. Right, you know, when I asked you earlier about what were the odds, I was thinking of it more of the fact of them getting 5 runs in the ninth. And the reason I thought that was because I said to myself, how frequently have the Rockies scored 9 runs on the road against an AL club? Like we established it yesterday. Go back and listen to some of the crazy numbers by which, you know, Trevor Story is doing, hitting these multi-homer games.
Right.
15 times, Drew, coming into today. 15 times they've just scored 9 or more runs on the road in AL ballpark. That's
wow.
It.
That's it. Yeah. Wow.
And so that was like – they did it earlier this – well, almost a month ago when they – against the Angels and they won 12-3. But other than that, like it's kind of a rarity. So to see them totally go in – now we – won't necessarily worry about earned runs or otherwise, but nevertheless,
talk about that.
A win's a win. A win is a win.
4 errors in it. Good.
And 2 just by
gracious.
Nate, or I should say Nathaniel. Lau.
Don't call him Lau Low.
Nathaniel, don't call me Nate, and don't call me Low, or don't call me Nate Low. Lau. He has 3 of the worst nicknames.
I know. It's like brutal, man. he cost the Rockies game too. He had a nice game too with the stick, but he cost the Rangers potentially any attempt at a comeback. I was really happy that at least like the Rodgers hit, everything that took place before that, the Rockies had already taken the lead. So you can't blame it entirely on all of that nonsense. Like Rockies already had it. It sure did make Carlos Estevez's job a lot nicer, though. But still, he didn't allow a run. And all told, we've got to – I can't even honestly believe I'm going to say this. We've got to tip our caps to the bullpen.
Got to tip your cap to the bullpen. Even before Estevez, Jolys Chacín, 2 innings.
He did it.
And no earned runs. That was – you know what? Keep talking. I'm going to send an email out. I think Jolys Chacín is our new DraftKings Sportsbook. Get 2 kings. All right.
Any one of those party poppers.
He's the prince. I mean, he might have to be the prince. How about that? He's a draft prince.
He went the 2 innings, which they really needed out of him today. Robert Stevenson my guy with a very impressive two innings, Daniel Bard pitching earlier in the game and you know, with the team down, kind of a new role for him. Not great, couple hits and a walk, but still.
Escapes unscathed.
Got out of there.
We'll give it to you. He needs it, so we'll give it to him.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, Justin Lawrence comes in a really tough spot there with Freeland having to come out with an injury, guy on base, doesn't have his command, which we know has been an issue for Justin already. And, you know, just starts walking dudes and Buddy is immediately kind of trying to get him out of there, basically. And then Ben Bowden inherits a tough spot, doesn't have his best command right away either, but does end up collecting it, minimizing the damage as best he could at that point. And then going the next inning, which was really important for him to go back out there and give Buddy what he could. And so, yeah, like obviously Lawrence, that's a rough spot. You don't want to see that. I like that Buddy gave him that opportunity, kind of challenged the young kid early on. So we weren't expecting this spot. It's sort of like a pressure situation, but in the second inning. So it does two things. It's less of a pressure spot, and you hope Justin Lawrence can learn from it. And secondly, it does give your team the opportunity. There was plenty of ball game, and as it turned out, there was just enough ball game left for them to come back and win. But yeah, the bullpen to cut it off at that, very impressive.
Very impressive. Yeah, learning experience. That you encapsulated right there, where hey, you've got nothing but positivity to potentially bring into this game, because it's already, you know, it didn't get off the rails, but man, it really hits you in the solar plexus on the same day John Gray goes on the IL, for this to happen to Kyle Freeland. You're just holding your breath and you're not worried about it. It's on the road. You're like, okay, fine, Rangers sweep. I mean, so, you know, right. Justin Lawrence coming in, you hope maybe, and say, hey, maybe he's the guy that can do it in short order. Doesn't, but, you know, can learn from something like that. And the rest of the bullpen got up, and, you know, with each guy that came in the game, you had more and more success. Okay, Bowden still gives up the run. He goes nearly two innings, coming out of nowhere, having to relieve the reliever. And then, as we said, Stevenson, Bard, Chacín, Estévez, no runs. A lot of traffic on the bases, but no runs.
Yeah, I was frankly shocked. That may have even been more shocking than the come from behind win, was the fact that the bullpen out of nowhere was tasked with picking up so many innings. And obviously, other than stumbling right out of the gates, that terrible second, for the rest of the game, locked it down. Pretty amazing stuff there. So obviously, you know, we'll get you Kyle Freeland updates when we've got them. It sounds, if you're hoping, it's in line with, like with John Gray recently going on the 10-day IL immediately after they announced that they thought he was likely he could make his next start, which just shows you they're being super precautious. Is that a word? Precautionary? I'm pretty sure precautious is not a word.
Precautious is a word.
We know what it means. They're precautionary.
Well, that I remember in a song many a year ago, an Eminem song, where he said, "I'm trying to pre-warn you." And I'm like, a warning pretty much covers it. You don't need to pre-warn someone.
Yeah.
But okay, got it. So you're good. You and Mr. Actually, Mathers are kind of in the same, same world of making up words that make sense.
That's a staple of his, actually. He's got a song that starts, "It's 9 a.m. in the morning." And we go, "I know, I am
what?" Usually when it occurs.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Mark asking the question, speaking of the bullpen, do you know how many days Sheffield needs to be on the active roster in order to reach 90 to not get sent back to the Dodgers? That is a great question.
I don't have the answer to that. I don't actually have an answer to that. He may be there already because he, you know, he was fine. Although actually I think it was early June. It was about June 3rd. He first went on the IL. So I think he does need a little more time. Again, you know, we don't know if it's a phantom IL. I think he has been, suffering some general ails Yeah. You do hope he comes back. Now, even if he doesn't get the required service time or actual days in the majors that he's supposed to, that can roll over to next year too, if they want to keep him. So it isn't like, hey, if you don't have it this year, you don't get it, because it happened to a Rockies guy a few years ago, Dan Winkler, if you remember, with Atlanta, right, where pitch great, got hurt. They kept him around. And in fact, speaking of other roster transaction, Julian Fernandez was added to the 40-man, and he's up with the club now. He was a guy that was lost a few years ago, was taken by the San Francisco Giants in the Rule 5 draft, and they ended up keeping him for the next year. They even ended up trading him to Miami, because Miami was like, no, we'll go ahead and roster him and give him that opportunity and give him a 40-man roster spot. So even if you don't see him back this year, it doesn't mean you got to give him back to the Dodgers, because that's not the case if you still keep him around on the 40-man this offseason.
Yeah. And Mark, yeah, I think they unless they just bring in a slew of other guys this offseason that they're more excited about, certainly as constructed right now, you've got to be in the business of keeping a guy like Robert Stevenson, who I think they like, and Jordan Sheffield, who I think they like and has shown potential in the early going there. And it's exactly the kind of guy that they need to be in the business of acquiring. So you want more of those, not less of them.
and if he's hurt, which you hope isn't the case, and they really need that roster spot, I don't think they will. They do have a lot of guys they'll need to protect ahead of the Rule 5 draft in December. But I think the ones that probably, might have the greatest likelihood of being taken, they'll be able to protect. And so there'll be a lot of guys exposed. But sometimes that ends up happening in windows where you're like, oh, I know a lot of these names, and they're going to be exposed in the Rule 5 draft. No one even bothers to look at him. So I think you'll see him around. If he is injured, they could knock him off the 40-man and still end up bringing him back on a minor league deal because, it's the timing is a little bit off because you're hurt. But we want to keep you around, and yeah, I want to stay in the organization. We know the Rockies have done that with a lot of guys in the past. A lot of teams do that, and the Rockies treat their guys really well. So it makes sense that guys would want to re-up and come back even on a minor league deal if they had to.
That's good. We got a couple of super chats from Jacob in the comments. Remember, on YouTube, always an opportunity to impact the conversation, especially if you super chat, we will definitely see it. So a couple of them here, he says, you guys ever see American Psycho? Want a morning routine by Patrick, just like from the movie. Is that a compliment or a – I feel like it is.
I feel like it's an insight on me that I was hoping no one would pick up. But I'm pretty sure I saw the movie first. And then I read the book by Bret Easton Ellis. And the book gets really, really dark. Unlike the movie, which is just a fun romp. But no, the book is, I think it goes far beyond that. I can't remember exactly what his routine was like, but Christian Bale certainly got himself in some great shape. I don't know that I'll ever get in that shape. I'm probably more inclined to do a lot of running and get into the physique he got in for the film The Machinist than for American Psycho. But yeah, that, if you're looking to drop a couple of LBs, that's my workout tip of the day. First thing in the morning, just even go for a walk. That'll jumpstart your metabolism. Go for a jog if you can get a mile, 2 miles in before you eat anything, because as soon as you eat something and then you go out to exercise, your body burns what you just ate, not the fat from the day and week before. So go out first thing in the morning, get a jog.
Jog to some Huey Lewis in the news.
That's it.
Sports. That's the routine.
Phil Collins if you need to. That's it. And drink 16 ounces of water too before you do anything.
I mean, always.
That's it.
And also from Jacob, is Todd Helton the Hall of Famer? Yeah. Yeah. And is Babe Ruth the GOAT? It depends on who you ask.
I say yes.
I say no, and it's not through any fault of his own. It's the same reason that Wilt Chamberlain isn't the greatest basketball player of all time. Like, you just played in an era where everyone was a foot shorter than you. Like, it doesn't – like, it's – the numbers are overwhelming for Babe Ruth, obviously, but he just played at a time where he was far and away – he was far and away the best player on the field. –
But he's not the GOAT?
Well, no.
Finish your, again,
because the fact that the rest of the league was nowhere near as good is not a testament to you. It's a testament to how not good the rest of the league
is. There, so then in your opinion, is there a greatest baseball player of all time? Or is it shared by a group? I would think that would be probably
it's more of your hard in baseball. Yeah. I think Hank Aaron is the closest thing that the game has to a legitimate greatest player of all time. If you had to name one guy, I would probably pick Hank Aaron, but it's just too hard because baseball is such a game of specialized jobs. And unlike in football, which is also a game of specialized jobs, everybody knows exactly whose job is always the most important every single time. It's the quarterback. It's always the quarterback. The quarterbacks are the best. They're the most important. There's like an obviously understood hierarchy too. It's like then there's the running back, and then, you know, or in baseball, like on any given day, it's the starting pitcher, but they can only go once every 5 days, and position players play every day, and shortstops matter so much on defense, but for 100 years they couldn't even hit. So what even the hell? So it's just, it's tougher there. But the fact that Babe Ruth didn't have to play against the black players or the Hispanic players of his generation.
True.
Again, it's like Wilt Chamberlain would not score 100 points in a basketball game if he was playing in today's NBA. It just would not happen. And it's hard to know exactly how many home runs Babe Ruth would hit if he was playing in today's baseball, but he wouldn't hit more than entire teams and divisions and stuff. Like, that just would not happen if you just dropped him into today's game as talented as he was. So
I think for everything that Shohei Ohtani has done, and we go, can you believe this is happening? And we can't appreciate it. There's just no way. It's like Mike Trout's entire career. We can't even appreciate it.
Right.
Ohtani is actually just doing what Babe Ruth already did. That's not to take anything away from him. This isn't my Stuart Scott moment. I'm not doing that. Not Stuart Scott. Stephen A. Smith, another gentleman. Yeah. You're like, oh, really? You talk about Ken Olbermann.
Olbermann. Right.
But it's just Babe Ruth is, He did that. So to me, yeah, he definitely is. But I love that you bring that point up, because it doesn't get mentioned enough that, you know, Babe Ruth didn't play against African American ball players, Hispanic ball players, and, you know, that's certainly something that allowed him to pad his stats a little bit more. It's very true.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I oftentimes compare it to Wilt Chamberlain too, because there's the people that weren't allowed to play, but then there's also just literally like the state of the game. And it's tough because you need those people to steward sports into their next generation, right? There has to be that person that's so good that the rest of the game has to adapt and catch up. But they do. The rest of the game does adapt and catch up. And so it's hard to tell. Will saying here in the comments, Ruth would get embarrassed by modern day breaking pitches. It's hard to know that 100% for sure, but I do wonder. And that's where it's so tough, especially in a game like baseball, where, again, the nature of it has changed so much. Guys weren't throwing 92-mile-an-hour sliders in 1923. So it's hard to know, you know, how the great hitters of yesteryear would fare against Jacob DeGrom. You know, I have no idea. I do tend to think, and I actually think this is true in all pro sports across the board, that the best athletes who've ever played are playing right now.
True. Yeah.
You know, and that's part of the reason why it's difficult to separate yourself from the pack to be the all-time great, because all of these other guys are really great too. It's one of my dad's favorite sayings is, you know, the boys on the other team are on scholarship too. You know, so it's just tough. It's tougher out there, man. So if you dominate in today's game, you're as good as there's ever been.
Yeah, fair. Can't really argue with that. We'll have to continue that debate for the off season. I like that. That's a good topic. Is Babe Ruth? And I think that would be on brand for both of us in so many ways. Okay, I'll take the route of saying Babe Ruth is the greatest of all time. And then you come in and I'll help you out with this even too, because I like this idea. But you come in crapping all over Babe Ruth.
Just crush
Babe Ruth. Me as the guy from the East Coast. That's fun. I think that would actually be really entertaining.
I do have a soft spot. There's a similar thing like in music. People will, you know, are the Beatles the greatest band of all time? Or did they just make the most important transition from the kind of music that had been popular before they existed and the kind of music that's popular after they existed, and basically making rock and roll the standard listenable popular music? And that's what they did. Does that make them the greatest rock and roll band of all time? Yeah, it kind of does in some people's minds. But also, does that mean that they were the best band to ever write songs and play their instruments? No. Not even, actually, technically speaking, like, the Beatles weren't even that good like at music. You know what I mean? But they were incredible songwriters. We're getting far afield here. But it's a similar argument, right? Where it's just like, yeah, man, like, you give people points for changing the game or for mastering the game or for, yeah. Yeah, it's all tough. And baseball, it's even harder. But all right, back on the Rockies before we get too far out of the way. Yeah, I love that the comments are into it, though. And over for Crone. August is over.
He's like, man, I was working my butt off. They still haven't made the announcement. I do know last month they announced July's Player of the Month on August 2nd. So we are going to have to wait until tomorrow. Bryce Harper or CJ Crone. It's going to be close. I think if we're talking about like MVP, you would give it to Harper because he was more valuable to his team, and with Philly kind of, you know, still making a push for the wild card, and what his value has been to the Phillies has been more than what Crone's value has been to the Rockies. But if you're just doing it straight statistically, CJ Crone deserves it. And so I think Player of the Month awards. Yeah. I think Player of the Month awards are really just look at the numbers. That's the guy. Done. Not the value. Now, maybe when you get to September, you know, that might change your mind a little bit, but I don't think you're really looking at it that deeply, to be honest.
No. I hope they give it to Crone, award it, I should say, to Crone. Again, it's the stats, it's a slight edge, but he's got a slight edge in all the stuff, batting average, on base, OPS, got one more homer, like all the things. Again, it's a slight edge, but it's an edge in all the important statistics. And so I would hope that CJ Crone would have earned Player of the Month for the month of August, be the first one for the Rockies since Charlie Blackmon won it in 2019. I think it was June or July, I believe, of 2019.
Yeah, before that, Arenado, 2017, Charlie Blackmon, May of 2017, Arenado, Cargo, Tulo, Holiday, Helton, Walker, Helton, Bichette, Burks, Galarraga, and maybe CJ Crone?
And of course, Colorado Rockies legend.
Literally, that's the list of Player of the Month award. The elite of the elite. I mean, only Trevor Story is missing from this list as far as elites. And maybe that's how you define it and say, Trev, you're not auxiliary Mount Rushmore, of course, but maybe you're not even on that.
Not quite CJ Crone.
Bichette, Walker, Helton, Holiday, Tulo, Cargo, Arenado, Blackmon.
Those are CJ kind of Crone? The dudes. It's weird that
Story's
not on there, but yeah, I got to write this. I talked about some what ifs. I don't know if the rest of the we'll see if anyone else. I'm gonna do some what ifs. I'm gonna write a couple of what if articles. I've been getting into the, as you know, I'm a giant Marvel nerd. Those shows have been really, really fun, and one of them has got to be, you know, an alternate history where Crone ends up on the Rockies earlier. We've talked about before whether or not they could have just signed him when he was a free agent. Does that save your 2019 season? Maybe, maybe not. Could they have traded for him when he was on the market, when he got traded before, when they really were in the hunt and needed a first baseman but didn't think that they did because they had Ian Desmond, and if they had just bailed on that earlier and gone that way? I got to write a what if CJ Crone had just been a Rocky earlier. Because it just feels like he always should have been. This just feels right. It feels like it's always what it should have been. And like you said, you just read off those names and you go,
Yeah, in a weird way, it feels like he doesn't belong on that list. On the other hand, it feels like if he sticks around for another year or two and becomes kind of the old man veteran of this team and keeps having these, you know, he's not going to keep having months quite like this, but years where he's going to hit 20 home runs and everyone's going to love him. He's going to mash. He's going to walk. He's going to play solid defense. Like, yeah, he could carve out a special place in Rockies history. It's just so too bad. What if he had been here two or three?
It would have had to have been the 18-19 offseason, because then you go, all right, we got our first baseman. Now let's bring back our second baseman, DJ.
Exactly.
And you go, that was the move.
That's the other domino that falls into place. Now that team still could not pitch. But if you've got DJ LeMahieu around, it actually 2019 maybe doesn't get saved. What happens there is 2020 is the year that doesn't turn to absolute horror. They maybe even find their way into a fun little postseason run because you've got randos that can mash. If you've got Chrome, LeMahieu, Story, Arenado.
I'm glad I didn't cut you off because the internet would have had a nice field day at your slight suggestion that if the Rockies had acquired CJ Chrome, there would not have been a pandemic in 2020. But I didn't cut you off. You explained it. Oh, I got it. On the field. You just mean.
There's no way to know.
Gotcha.
There's no way to know.
I was like, damn, Drew, these spins sometimes. Oh, shoot. Yeah. No, that actually is very logical. That's why, again, that's why Twitter does not do justice when we try to go back and forth. There's a lot more that goes behind it with my tag team partner, Drew Priestman. There's a lot more. That makes sense that you don't realize.
Oh, man. No, I hope they figure out a way to keep him around. It's too much fun. Well, Crona's an RBI from matching his career high for the season. Yeah, for a season. Yeah, I mean, he's having a great year. He's been a whole lot of fun to watch. So even though he didn't do anything today, just figured we'd talk about him really quick. It was really funny that the second the month ended, he finally took an over.
And but now he's going to start the month all over again against Atlanta on Thursday. You know, boom.
He did crush one like 110 miles an hour right at the third baseman at one point too. So it's like, yeah.
You mentioned this person. And I started getting curious. And so I looked it up just for, you know, what's in giggles. Most errors committed by an active player. Now, you do not have an outfielder popping up until number 33, Justin, who's been in the game for 15 years. You forget 89 errors, but the rest are all infielders. Who
he had one year where he could not catch a baseball. I remember that.
13 years, 12 years. And then third, because he's still technically active, Ian Desmond. Third most active player in errors, 176. How about that?
How about that?
Any names that jump out that you think, all right, this guy's been around for a while, so
he's got a lot of errors.
And again, error doesn't even necessarily mean you suck. It means you got to a lot more balls. You got great range.
That's, you would think there'd be a lot of like shortstops with good ranges, 100%. but iffy arms, strong arms that have iffy accuracy. Is like I'll say this, Escobar or
he's seventh. Got it.
Who all, like Starlin Castro?
Number two. Okay. By one error.
Other guys that have been around for a while. Who was
You got two Hall of Fame first basemen. Who have been in the game 19. Oh, yeah. Your first base slash DH is
make some errors at first. I got to think of people who've been around for a while, and I keep thinking of guys who just retired. Like, no, he's not in the game anymore. So it's not a shortstop. You said a first baseman is number one.
No, it is a shortstop. It is a AL West shortstop. He's played the entirety of his career from the AL West, and was, speaking of Atlanta, coming to town tomorrow, Coors Field. Was an Atlanta prospect and was once traded for Mark Teixeira. He's number one, but also in the top 10 are two first ballot Hall of Fame. Elvis Andrews, number one, 208 going into today. Ryan Zimmerman is number four, Miguel Cabrera, five, Evan Longoria, six with 149 errors. Tied for seventh, Osiris Escobar and Albert Pujols. The only time those two guys will be tied for anything ever. as Jubal Cabrera, 9, and then 10, Brandon Crawford.
That's amazing. I love stuff, right? I love that. That's good stuff. All right, Patrick, before we get out of here, let's go ahead and take a look forward. Speaking of, as you said, Atlantia coming into town. Looks like the Rockies are going to throw out Chichi Gonzalez on Thursday for game one. Good old Thibodeau pitching for the Braves. I can't remember what movie that was a joke in.
Could be possibly Huascar Ínoa if things kind of stand in their rotation. Could they be going out for a bullpen day? Probably not a good recipe for success at the start of a four-game series in Colorado. But it makes me think, like, oh, man, the Rockies, they just used up their bullpen today on Wednesday. And now Thursday, they're not going to have that bullpen, which is why Chichi, 8 innings, 2 earned runs.
Yeah.
Put it in the books. Hey, but I did call today's W yesterday. I said, don't pick Tuesday's game. Pick this game that Freeland starts and we'll throw one inning. We'll get hurt. I'm not sure if I had all those details.
I don't know if you said all of those things.
I think I did, but I definitely said the win. I definitely said the win.
Yeah. You had that. Oh boy. Yeah. That's a tough task for Chichi.
Ian Anderson is going on Friday night. He was my NL Rookie of the Year candidate. I had him as tops, kind of went away from the favorite there, but not their best starting pitchers there in Atlanta. They do have a couple guys banged up, I think, right now, but
could be Huascar Ínoa,
Tuki Toussaint, smiling.
Tight out there though, so everyone's playing for all the marbles right now. But I like the Rockies, you know, in the games with Marquez, maybe Senzatella on the hill. He was so good last time out. I'd love to see him finish really strong. Marquez hasn't been. So, again, you feel more good about that in theory than you have been in practice as of late. But home Rockies may have to be the offense. May just have to be the offense that carries them here. And maybe the bullpen can catch a heater. You know, maybe some of these guys who are stepping up into spots. I'd love to start seeing, you know, we talked about it. We saw a couple of guys called up today. Neither of the two interesting ones my mom was asking in the comments here a second ago about Peter Lambert. I still think they're getting him back to full health. So it's going to be a little bit before we see him. Potentially same thing with Rollison, but I'd like to see them as soon as possible, because in the meantime, you're just kind of going with Chichi Gonzalez for now and seeing what happens. And, you know,
this is the final four-game series of the season, and the Rockies have
held
form all year long. I mean, they've been playing way better on the road than the beginning of the season, but it's been incremental, and then those increments have stayed pretty much the same, where they went opening day. I've said it a billion times, but it went from awful against the Dodgers. They had the opening day victory, then lost the next three. And then they got better and better, and then were leading every game against Milwaukee. I think similar to Cincinnati in that four-game series. They ended up giving back two, so they won. They went 2-2 there. But then their last four-game series, right around the 4th of July, they did take 3 of 4 against St. Louis. So do the Rockies sweep, four-game sweep of Atlanta?
If it stays
consistent, I mean – at least 3 out of 4, right? Because they've gotten better. They haven't lost more games of four-game series as the season has gone on. So
that's
I actually would take 3. I don't know how. I don't know what it looks like. Well, I do. It's going to be a lot of run scoring. But I think they'll win 3 games. I think they're going to win 3 against a first-place Atlanta team.
Love it. Love it. I think they'll split. I think they'll have a nice little split right here, because Atlanta's good. They're real good. And they're playing for it. But like you said, they also catch a pitching break. They're going to have their opportunities, are the Rockies. And they've been nothing if not a team that jumps all over opportunities. Opportunistic is what we call that. And they've done so. And today's win was exactly proof of that. Our good friend Thomas Harding doing a stat of the day feature, it looks like, over on MLB.com. Rockies drew 8 walks in the game today,
which is tied for the most they've had all season. But they also issued quite a few walks. If you don't love patience at the plate, this probably wasn't the most exciting baseball game to watch.
4-hour game too. 4-hour, 1 minute. Again, yeah, you're happy with those, with how it ends up going down. And
issued five. So
oof. Okay. Yeah, here's why I like for them to go 3-1 against Atlanta, because then San Francisco comes to town. And then if you lose 2 of 3 to San Francisco, still 4-3 when you're home. That's how it's going. It's how it's going down. And let me remind you of this too.
Yeah.
No, you go ahead. I'll say my part.
I was going to say, I'm going to use your logic, but I'm going to invert it. I'm going to stick with my pick and I'm going to do the same thing and say that's exactly why I'm going for the split against Atlanta. So I think they're taking that set against San Francisco. I think the Rockies are about to screw everybody. And it's going to be fantastic. Starting right there with the Giants, who are really trying to hold on to that division, this division.
Yeah, fun, man. Little side story to keep your eye on. It's not a story so much as it is a welcome back. 4 games. Enjoy seeing Eric Young Sr. back at the ballpark.
Enjoy seeing
Walt Weiss. Again, both these guys are part of Atlanta's coaching staff. And then on Monday, it's nice and clean if it lays out this way. Colorado's own Kevin Gausman pitching for the Giants.
Love it.
You gotta like those fun little storylines. So if you go to the ballpark, if you're not excited enough to see the Rockies just be awesome at home as they've been all season long, I really don't see that changing for any particular reason. You also have some familiar faces that you know and love. They're going to be there on the other side of the diamond as well.
Quick trivia question that I do not know the answer to. So this will be
good. I really hope I know it.
More teams, LaTroy Hawkins has pitched for or Eric Young Sr. has coached for? More teams.
Definitely the Troy Hawkins.
Is it?
Because he's probably about 12 or 13.
Goals? Yeah.
And coaches don't jump around that much.
But EY is coach. So EY is coach for the Rockies, the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, the Giants, Atlanta. And then we might start drying up a little bit. Maybe the pot. Every team in the NL West, I think.
And I'll count as minor league teams as well. By the way, Eric Young, born in New Jersey. But you're right. You got 90. As a coach, not too many. But then you throw the teams he's played with as a player, too.
Okay.
He's got a lot.
Well, a few of them. I feel like he had managed, or not managed, but like first base coached for every team in the NL West over the last several years. And now he's with Atlanta.
He's a popular guy.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't he be? LaTroy Hawkins. Did Edwin Jackson end up playing for more teams than LaTroy Hawkins, or does LaTroy Hawkins hold?
Yeah, because Edwin Jackson is.
Edwin Jackson holds the record.
I'm not even sure what it's up to. I have the number 14 in my head, but it might be 14
or 15 is what I'm thinking. Yeah.
And you throw in representing Team USA. you've got that going on.
How many jerseys? There's got to be like a 30 for 30 or a whatever. Like, it's just a documentary on all of Edwin Jackson. Do you think he's got jerseys or hats or something from each team that he's played for? Surely he's got something, right?
I mean, no, not necessarily. Again, it's
some of these teams
your job. It's you misplace certain things. Like, again, you or I, we think about wrestlers and be like, oh my God, the day that this happened. And it was on Raw, and then you guys were number one in the ratings, and you didn't keep that. And you're like, no, it was just the shirt I wore. That
shows a year.
Yeah, pretty much.
How many baseball games do I think I play? I told you, Octavio Dotel. That's right.
He's got the record with 15. Yeah. So when Jack is at 14.
Amazing. All right, and on that note, it's been a whole lot of fun. We'll see how always fun when the Rockies come back home. They'll be here. We talked about for sets against Atlanta and San Francisco. Tune in for all of that. Make sure you're subscribed to the dnvr.com for all the written content. Hang out on our Discord and chat during the games, before and after the games. Chat about whatever you're watching on TV, whatever movies you've seen lately, whatever you're cooking, whatever you're feeling. Just let us know. Hang out on the Discord channel. And, of course, if you do sign up for that annual, we'll send you out a free shirt from the DNVR locker. Otherwise, make sure you're following everyone on social media at Drew Kreisman, at Patrick D. Lyons, at DNVR underscore Rockies. You're hanging out with us anytime and all the time, having fun with Colorado Rockies baseball, continuing to be absolutely awesome out there. We promise that we will continue to be absolutely Patrick Lyons and Drew Kreisman in here. And until next time, we will see you at the ballpark.